We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Every Friday at 9 o'clock, we talk Chiefs. Welcome into the Chiefs Roundtable, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger.
It is our Chiefs Roundtable on a Friday. Cody Taft from Cody and Gold in studio with us. Jay Binkley from, oh my goodness, it's just like a run. It's like a...
find his Wikipedia here to find out all the shows he's on.
I'll tell you what, Jay is everywhere.
Bank at night, post-game coverage, Arrowhead Pride post-game show here on 610 Sports Radio after the Chiefs game.
When do you have time to drink beer anymore?
Does a pregame college segment now with Art Haynes on the pregame show and 106.5 The Wolf and 610 Sports Radio. He's everywhere.
Hello, Jay.
Hello, Bob. Hello, Josh. Good morning.
All right.
Nice to see you too, Jay.
Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
Yeah, don't say hi to Ryan.
I already said hi to him.
Mitch didn't say hi to Ryan on the air, and some guy lost it on the text line that Ryan doesn't get included enough. So
he says hi. Mitch doesn't respect me.
I was trying to be nice. Everybody respects you.
That's also not true.
Rewind yourselves 7 years ago, right? We hadn't experienced a playoff game in baseball yet. Andy Reid was still kind of feeling his way through some things here in Kansas City, just coming off that bad postseason loss to the Indianapolis Colts. We had been inundated.
Sorry, Twitch, for just a second right. After you mentioned that one. My bad.
But we had been inundated in losing in this town for a very long time. Fast forward.
Obsessed with it.
Obsessed with losing, right? Fast forward to September.
There you go. Thank you, Ryan.
Of 2021, and people are acting like they've never experienced a regular season football game loss in their life. How bad do we need a football game to happen for the Kansas City Chiefs this week?
It's not common feeling. They've lost one game in the regular season that mattered in the last, like, 30 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't get very used to it, I guess, when that's the case. And I know that it feels overblown based on that. The only difference in this one is at least it was one of the teams you actually believe in.
Right.
Like, the other times you'd be like, oh, the Raiders got one. You're like, oh, good for you. Great job. It's like when my brothers and I would go play two-on-two football on the street, and they always made us play the two younger brothers versus the two older ones. And it'd be, you know, all right, we'll let you be up 28-0. We're playing to 35.
Yeah.
And they're like 8 years older than us. For the one time the Hail Mary landed off of a tipped pass, you're like, good for you, man. It wasn't a big win. It didn't mean anything. We still got our ass kicked the following week.
Right.
I think that was why Chiefs fans freaked out, maybe in particular on this one.
I think we're getting spoiled. I used to call the area between Kauffman and Arrowhead the Boulevard of Broken Dreams because it really was.
Sure.
We just never won anything. In 1985 World Series, right? I was at the 1980 with my mom at 7 years old, but we just lost
in
between.
Where were you? I didn't see you.
Oh, you were there too? 1980 there. Game 3?
How awesome would it have been, honestly, if you guys were like sitting next to each other?
That would have been funny.
I mean, that would be the greatest thing ever.
Find an old photo.
They find an old photo. There's Kling and Binkley. Like some of those people that get married, you know, and they didn't realize they knew each other like kindergarten or something like that. Now they're married and like, oh my God, that was you. You were the guy.
Season tickets were next to each other at Municipal Stadium.
Yeah.
KCAs, we wear the gear and everything. Kling and I were about, I think we were young 30s at that point.
I always wonder what happened to that kid.
Yeah.
I never saw him again for
thirties at that point, but we just lost and we've gotten spoiled. And I've talked about it, you know, for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. I like in Kansas, and you hear that once in a while, the Kansas expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Like they can trot out Bill Self can bring the Tiffany Bowls for their 14 straight Big 12 titles they won, but unless they're hanging that Final Four banner, like they don't care,
right?
And the Patriots fan mentality was, if they got to the Super Bowl, so be it. They always did. They had to win to celebrate. If not, they were kicking their dog and punching their television or burning their couch if they didn't win. And I think to some extent we've gotten spoiled.
And that's good, though. I mean, because we finally are getting to that point where we deserve all this, right? Right? We deserve all these wins. We deserve everything because of
the
50 years of absolutely having nothing. But when you take a step back, it's a regular season loss, and it stunk, and there were some warts that were really brought to the surface in that game. But they only lost by 1 point, and they were in position to win that game, right? They were in position. They would have won that game. They should have won that game, but they didn't win that game. But at the end of the day, it's a regular season loss. And guys, I don't know how you feel, but I likened it earlier in the show to that Tennessee loss in 2019 when this team lost that game to the Tennessee Titans and didn't lose again. And that was rock bottom. Andy wore that. The team wore that. The defense wore that. I get the same feeling like this is going to be one of those same type of football games.
It's much earlier than that.
Oh,
so
yeah,
like if
yeah,
the
yeah.
defense can start showing any kind of improvement, and you would think, I guess the red zone stuff is like who's going to fail worse because the Chargers have been really bad in the red zone. Offensively, and the Chiefs obviously have been a complete sieve. And I don't discount, like, I think the Chargers' red zone problems are real because they've gone dink and dunk a little bit offensively, which has been good for yardage, but they got a new offensive coordinator. And, you know, if you're going to play small ball in offense, it becomes very difficult inside the red zone to find those same windows. And they always pretend like, oh, we didn't play any preseason games. I'm sure it'll pick up that entirely new offense with a completely different head coach, totally different offensive coordinator. I know he's throwing for yards, but again, that's where the red zone stuff comes into play. I think what it is, Bob, and I think a lot of the reason why people overreact to the regular season stuff is no one is satisfied with one Super Bowl.
No.
Because of Mahomes.
Right.
If it were Alex Smith who won the Super Bowl, everyone would just be like, wasn't that great? We did it. Hooray, right? It would have just been like, move on about your life. Maybe there's a chance for another one. But nobody's really counting on it. Who cares?
And it was great.
Yeah.
And we enjoyed it.
Yeah, we got there.
Go back to 2019, the year they won the Super Bowl. They had lost two in a row. They were 6-4 after
they
10
were 6-4. I know. I just looked at that last night.
Yeah, they had gone a stretch with us. Three or four games. Mm-hmm. Else was two in a row. Is that Colts game, that Texans game, and was the sky falling then? No, because you didn't know the expectations. You didn't know the Super Bowl. Then they go to the Super Bowl, and the rest was history. Although they went to the AFC title game the year before, they were 6-4.
Right.
Losses do happen. 1 point loss in a position to win is much better than what happened to the Packers in week one against the Saints.
No doubt.
They got blasted.
Or what happened to the Saints in week two against the Panthers.
Yeah.
Blasted.
Blasted. Yeah.
Just
absolutely destroyed. Or what happened to the Texans last night. Sorry,
wrong. CEH has a fumble. Are we supposed to, you know, coddle him? I feel like there was like we need to pat him on the back, make sure he's feeling okay this week. It's just one fumble and a guy that hasn't fumbled. Any concern that this is anything to worry about? Because there's not for me.
The fumbles aren't a concern, but my concern is now they're trying to amp him back up into the, like, he's dynamic. Like, best practice we've ever seen. Wow, unbelievable. Running hard. You're like, okay, just show some athleticism in a football game and I'm good.
You knew the practice stuff was going to come this week.
Yeah.
And I think almost, I know Josh doesn't necessarily agree, but I think you almost have to this week to let him know that inside this building, we're not down on you, and spread that message out in the public that it was a fumble. It happens. I mean, Patrick Mahomes threw an interception. Are we not concerned about that? Because that was Patrick trying to just be too cute in that situation. He called it the worst play of his career, and we've just moved on from that. Why can't we do that for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who fumbled the first time in his career?
You see Kareem Hunt come back from that fumble pretty good.
Absolutely, we have.
I worry way less about the fumble and more about the fact that he doesn't look dynamic yet.
Yeah, sure.
Like,
yeah.
that is my actual concern with Clyde. Mm-hmm. One fumble, whatever. I mean, that shouldn't break a guy's confidence to the point that...
And if it doesn't, you don't belong in the NFL.
Correct. Correct. That goes down to, like, the prospect stuff in baseball sometimes. I understand, like, we're going to ruin his confidence. I'm like, God, if he's that easy to break... Then we have a problem. Some of the Royals' greatest franchise players, Alex Gordon, had the like, sorry, man, you're not good enough. Go figure something else out. Turned out just fine, right? He came back. He helped them win a World Series. To me, Clyde, it's more about, like, can you just look good in the other areas? The fumble itself, I have absolutely zero worry about repeating itself.
Joe Mazza told you about, you know, defense being an attitude and everything. Same thing with running backs, too. He's RB1 for a two-time back-to-back Super Bowl team.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to take those expectations. You're in that huddle. And you look at Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback going right now. You're looking at 87, the best tight end in the history of the NFL. And then you're looking at Tyreek Hill. Like, he needs to step up and realize Andy Reid's not going to go forever with the guy that just continually 3.3 yards per carry. He's got to choke. He's got to do it for himself. And he's got to hit those holes. He's got to help this football team get that football down the field. And I know the team was pumping him up and high-fiving him, everything. You could have come back, Clyde. I know people wanted to see more of the passing game with Clyde out of the backfield.
I do too, and that's what I was going to ask you. Do you think Andy Reid's putting?
Yeah, but Baltimore was a tough game to do that because of the lack of blitz. Mm-hmm. Now, if they were blitzing like crazy, that would have worked.
Yeah,
but does anyone blitz?
Nobody's
going to
blitz the Chiefs anymore. I mean, if you're blitzing the Chiefs now, then you just came out from under a rock and have no idea what's going on in life.
I thought we were talking about like spreading Clyde out wide and letting him run routes.
Right. Even said
where's that? Where's all that stuff?
So that's what I want you. Is he really designed to be 3 yards in a cloud of dust and up the middle? I don't need to see him in that situation. Is Andy Reid putting Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the best possible positions to be successful?
Well, he's 4.4 yards a carry last year. It's hard to understand because you look at some of the acumen of these linemen. Lucas Niang at TCU is about pounding the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Orlando Brown in Baltimore comes from a heavy run-oriented offense. Trey Smith blocked a ton in the run game at Tennessee. It's like they're built to be run blockers. That's the one part like that doesn't make sense to me because I thought that part would become more natural for this offensive line than the pass blocking at first.
But that's only, we're only a two-game sample size of three linemen rookies that have played two games.
Yeah.
I mean, like how much is it on just getting used to the offensive line at this point?
Yeah, I care about him protecting Patrick Mahomes, number one. All right, well,
Patrick Mahomes has moved around a little bit, right? We can acknowledge he's been forced out off the spot a little bit. So this offensive line is not a finished product yet either. Mm-hmm. I just wonder how much that factors into CEH as well.
And that should, and I don't discount that. This isn't like the conversation with the defense. We're like, it's a two-game sample size. I'm like, no, it's not like 20. It's like 20 games of being awful in the red zone. This is not a two-game sample
size.
Right,
the red zone has been awful since last year.
Those are the same players that are still bad
in
the red zone.
Except for Jaron Reed.
Fine.
Yes.
I was like, no.
The good news last year was they
and Mike Breland, if
zone.
You want to just combine the two, they're slightly different. Like the outside corner has any effect in the run game.
But, no.
But it's the offensive line is fair, Clink, because they are still actually coming together as a group. They're at least different. That's different. And they ran the ball better, you know, and part of the reason Clyde was 4.5 yards a carry, like you mentioned yesterday, was last year because, you know, Assimile helped him get 140 yards in a game. So they might need, you know, a couple more games to get there.
It is Cody Tapp from Cody and Gold. It is Jay Binkley from Bank at Night and others. It's brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. Our Chiefs roundtable continues. We'll look at the concerns about the defense and can they flip it around? We'll chat next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Welcome back into the Chiefs roundtable, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger.
We're pissed off. You know, it's not to our standards. And we have very high standards. And trust me, we're definitely going to get on that, get down, and just keep going, man. We got to keep our heads up, and we don't get down on nothing. You know, we know who we are, and we're going to stand on that.
Jaron Reed speaking earlier this week. It is our Chiefs roundtable. Cody Tapp and Jay Binkley in studio with us.
Our data is letters, not numbers.
That's
it's
right.
Wins and losses.
It's wins and losses.
That's right. Our data is letters, not letters. Numbers. It's all about wins and losses.
All about letters.
But you're also quantified by numbers.
Yeah. He's a football coach, man. You can just say random stuff, and the sports writers who need term limits as well are in there going, no,
I'm
going
to keep bringing it up all week, too. The quarterback of our football team is unaware that you have to outscore people to beat them.
Yes.
Just completely oblivious to it.
Should someone have asked Daly as the follow-up to that, what grade would you give the defense then?
7.
I'd like an A through F grade, please.
We don't deal with numbers. We only deal with letters. Huh? The Chiefs
I want to see his standing board, his standings.
The Chiefs last year were N and C if you're dealing with numbers.
You know, by the way, what stage of life you're in when the first thing that comes is we start talking about like letter, and then I immediately went to Elmo, Ryan, like the letter of the day. That was my first thought. Oh, God.
Are you still in that stage?
Yes, I have a 3 and a 5 year old.
Oh, yeah,
the letter of the day
is C. Are you still in the hot dog dance stage of things? Hot dog.
I did the hot dog dance. We came back for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I was goofy.
They never got
it,
into that show.
So my daughter comes home from school yesterday. You guys all appreciate this. And she says we have to do like some video for science class, and if we use somebody from our family, we get an extra 5 bonus points in it. And she goes, and Mr. Cole said, if your dad's in this, I'll give you really some extra points on this one. I want to see this, right? And so I said to my daughter, I'll be in your science video. I have no problem with that. She goes, no, I really don't want that. I said, why? Well, I want my sister to be in it. I was really hoping she would be in it. I go, you embarrassed by your father? Well, it's not that. So
it is definitely that.
It's 100% that, right?
The extra points weren't worth
like,
it.
Like, it wasn't worth it. Man. The teacher specifically said, and if your dad's in it, I'll give you even more, right? Yeah. Like, come on, Mr. Cole, I want to be in this video.
Yeah, it gets to the phase where if someone happens to recognize you, the kids go, they listen to your show.
Right.
It's a good thing that people listen to dad. Show okay,
right. So
do you like the house?
Good. It's good when that happens. Because someone else, right. My teacher listens to your show.
Oh, all of California Trail Middle School is dialed into this. Because we talked about it wanting every teacher.
But it's nice they listen. Right. Two, that the kids are horrified by it is the better.
It's the best. It is awesome. Yes. Yeah, once your kids get old enough where they're at school and people are talking about, are you related to that guy on the radio? Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
Yes, I am.
This is the first moment though that I really have where my child was embarrassed by me and didn't want me in this
video.
Didn't
want the extra points.
I assure you, that's not the first moment.
Yeah, I think it could be because they generally, my oldest daughter is very much like me, just kind of rolls her eyes and moves on. My other daughter's oblivious to life, thinks everything's just wonderful out there, right?
Good place to be.
Yeah, so it really is. I mean, it really is. She just dances and has a good old time, right? But my oldest is like, oh, Dad, I don't really want you in this video. I'm like, I could be great in this science video for Mr. Cole. I think we're all going to have to do it.
Where's the volcano?
Yeah.
Where's the explosion volcano? I'm there. We'll just use embarrassing as a segue as we move into the
Chiefs defense.
Yeah. So
God, you're a pro.
So we'll go there. Cody,
A-plus transition if you're looking for letter grades.
That's a one.
I like to deal in numbers or something. I don't even know what we like to deal in anymore. But Cody, you mentioned it, like the red zone stuff. It's not a two-game sample size. It's a year-plus sample size now.
And it's the same problem. It's their inability to stop the run. It's the only time it matters. Like from the 20 to 20, I don't really care about it. But their inability to stop it down there is where it's been an issue. They've continuously gotten beat at the line of scrimmage, and then they get inside the 18, and they're still breaking off 6 or 7 yard runs. Even though everyone should be closer to the line, they're still having trouble there. That's where I have a hard time doing it. And then some of the missed tackle stuff, I feel like, is being dismissed one way and then excused another. So yesterday with Sorensen, Spags was like, oh, you know what? The one thing, though, is that he goes down playing hard. But then Andy's telling me it's a mindset. So tackling's a mindset. Okay, well, then Sorensen's not having a trouble with the mindset. He's having a hard time with the physical ability to tackle, which is a much bigger concern.
Yeah, but he also shouldn't be involved in 19 tackles from a safety position either. No. That means your defensive line is not doing their job.
So much of this to me is on the defensive line.
And it's all on the defensive line to me.
They need to perform. You have two stars.
$200 million.
And a high impact offseason move at that spot. That's the group that needs to shine.
And a couple of third round picks. The assets have never stopped coming into the defensive line.
Yeah, nor should they.
But they're two third-round picks, $200 million, and you said their biggest offseason acquisition are all on the defensive line.
Yeah.
They have four of their highest five paid players for cap it this year on the defense.
Yeah.
Like, I it's just hard to see the improvement right now because it's the same unit.
But
like, where am I supposed to assume they're getting better in the red zone yet?
This whole defensive line thing, though, the Jaron Reed one is the one that puzzles me because – I go back to our interview with Andy Reid before the start of the season. So, Andy, what do you think of the offensive line? Let me tell you about Jaron Reed. Like everybody unprompted wanted to talk about this guy. That guy's been a no-show in the first two games of the season.
And he was talking this week when he talked to the media about communication. He's flat out said, you need to communicate better, right? If that's one thing. And he was part of a Seattle group that gave up a ton of points early in the year. Then they were able to turn around. Well, we haven't seen this team do that part yet.
It's only week two.
And I mean, the missed tackles are one thing, but it's a big thing too, because sometimes you go back to that Browns game and clearly there were some scheme issues. But it's not a scheme issue if you have the play called right on defense and you got guys doing the red banner to the bowl, olay, and letting them get through. That's not a scheme issue. That's a personnel issue. That's a tackling issue. So a lot of these things, I know that people throw the arrows at it's Steve Spagnuolo or whatever. It's not his problem. He's not the one out there missing the tackle as a pro football player. That's the stuff that shouldn't happen.
And I think Andy's been very open with that this week, and Spags was as well. I mean, they're not holding back from saying, get off your block and make a tackle. And even Spagnuolo was kind of like, it's not the scheme. These guys got to go out there and do their job.
There's a lot of man up, I thought, this week.
I thought so, too. And Andy hit it on Sunday. He hit it on Monday. And I think he even talked about it again on Wednesday, where when you say get off your block, that's directed at the defensive line because they're the ones that are on those blocks that aren't getting off of them. And you go from first and 10 to second and 4 in the blink of an eye.
It's not great that your safeties are consistently the first guy to touch.
Should never be that way.
That's not good. Because I don't remember what that first half stackling, you probably remember from the broadcast. It was, all right, well, the Ravens have 150.
You don't remember things from yesterday.
They have 150 first half rushing yards, and 142 were before contact. You're like, what? I don't feel like you should be running that far before somebody touches you.
Yeah. When you give up 404 rushing yards in the first two games of the season, that's not because Juan Thornhill isn't playing. That's because your defensive line decided to take weeks 1 and 2.
Well, and also look at the tackles, too. Are they assisted or solo? Because if they're solo, that's the problem with the guys getting through. Yeah. If it's assisted, okay. Well, it means he's getting hit at the defensive line. They're coming up and make the play. And obviously, Sorensen, his numbers are going to be higher because he plays up a lot more in that box safety role. It's essentially like having an extra linebacker.
But when Chris Jones comes out of the game and he has half a tackle for the day.
It can't happen.
No.
Can't.
I just don't know what happened between week 1 and 2. And, you know, people say, well, is it the defensive end? And so he was good in week 1 against the arguably the best offensive line in football, the Browns.
He was put in a – but that game is
– he made Jack Conklin look stupid.
But that's his weakest – like, that level of weakness. Like, it's good – he's a good pass rusher. He knows how to get to the quarterback. But when all of a sudden they're running you every time and forcing you to be stuck in the middle between do I go after – it killed his aggressiveness. Like, I expect him to be better this week against Herbert because the Ravens killed his aggressiveness. Because he hesitated because he didn't know which way to go. Every snap, they just stick Lamar out there, and he's like, damn it, it's this again. Which way am I supposed to go? Mm-hmm. And that's really hard. It's hard enough to learn a new position completely, but it's another thing to learn that part of the position. The pass rush stuff, I still think, will come with Chris Jones.
I'm not worried about the pass rush at all, but if you can't stop the run, then you're not going to need the pass rush.
Well, when you can't stop the run, it keeps Mahomes over on the sideline over there talking to Andy Reid on the bench. It keeps Kelce over there. Yeah. It keeps Hill. You say what you want about time of possession. I know it's a big argument here and there, but go back to that 2019 team when they lost back-to-back games. With the Texans had the ball 19 more minutes than the Chiefs.
You got to run the football.
The following week, the Colts had the ball 15 more minutes than the Chiefs. Ravens had it 12 minutes more and just managed a one-point win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what happens if that starts sliding the other way and becomes a little bit close to that time of possession? Yes, the Chiefs – I'm not talking about rally killers here with the home run. It stops your rally. No. Give Mahomes on the field more. He maximizes his opportunities when he has possessions. Give him two or three more possessions in the game and see what happens.
That can be easy, by the way, with the Chargers. They have a million 10-play drives already this year.
And that's why I think from an offensive standpoint, right now, maybe you have to counteract that.
They can't stop the run either. Chargers really
should. That's right. I just think CEH needs to have a big game this week. I think the Chiefs got to run the ball more just for the sake of the defense staying on the sidelines.
Well, you think that's always scary because you look at last week with the Ravens offensive line, you think, oh, this is going to be Sack City. And then it wasn't. It's like, obviously, this game would say, well, both teams are going to be able to run the football. Both teams have a lot of confidence in running. Chargers probably looking at this, we can run the ball in this game. Chiefs are looking, we can run the ball in this game. Well, one of those things is not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Herbert, where's your feel for how he can damage you? Is there a fear factor for either of you two yet for Herbert?
I think he can be incredible. I think they've taken some of the juice out of him with this style of offense because it's the offensive coordinator from the Saints, and they're having these 10-play drives, but he's not pushing the ball down the field as much. I thought he was more dangerous last year. The offense isn't as scary, even though I think he's as scary as he is as a quarterback. But I feel like they've taken some of the bigger play stuff out with him, and I feel like that's a mistake.
I'm with the 18.5 points a game so far through two games. Obviously, just two-game sample size. Second to last in the red zone scoring touchdowns. That's on the quarterback sometimes. He's got 3 picks, a fumble. He's not playing to the level he was at a point last year.
Cody, what you got coming up on the show today, 10 to 2?
We got Pete Sweeney coming up at 11 o'clock. Since it's Friday, right?
You guys? Yeah, it's Friday, yes.
The other days. We'll talk a little bit more about...
You did phrase that like a question. Yeah, it's Friday, yes.
Well, and we'll obviously talk a little bit about the Chargers because this is really only round 2. And it's the first real game of if it's going to be the Mahomes-Herbert rivalry. Last time it was one game.
One game, yeah.
One game, but he got
Chargers
put in.
The Chargers acted like they won a game against the Chiefs.
Okay, let's be chill on that Week 17 game.
Right.
And the other time it was like a Tyrod Taylor needle to the lung 5 seconds before the game that did it. So this feels like the first real crack.
Jay, what's coming up on your realm of things that you do?
Well, just beer and high school football tonight, Fesco. And
sounds then, like right up your
Sunday
alley.
Sunday college football with Art Haynes and some postgame.
Yes, he'll be on pregame and postgame coverage here on 610 Sports Radio and 106.5 The Wolf. He is Jay Binkley, Bink at Night. Cody Tapp, Cody and Gold. Cody coming up 10 to 2. They join us on the roundtable brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. Voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, gave us an eye-popping stat involving the Chiefs defense. Hear it next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Back in on a Friday.
Woo, Friday!
Billy Coons.
Ryan's still here this late.
Yeah, I know. He's pretty much, he's been pretty dialed in for a 9 o'clock hour for him, too. Billy Coons, Fesco's biggest fan. We'll recap the week that was, what we learned coming up in just a few minutes.
It's okay.
Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, dropped by earlier in the show and dropped this little nugget on us.
I'm sorry, Bob. Hang on. I wasn't ready for it. Just Kling set me up again.
Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, dropped by and dropped this little nugget on us.
There are times you have to just whip the dude in front of you.
That wasn't what I was going for, but
Kling's really good at that. He's very practical.
I am very practical.
That's why you love generics.
A lot of chat. For sure. A lot of chat about the Chiefs defense.
Stay the same.
This week, and rightfully so, last in too much stuff.
Yeah.
A lot about the red zone. You think about third downs a lot. But this Chiefs defense really needs to get better, Mitch tells us, on first down.
The Chiefs are at the bottom of the league, allowing 64% of runs on first down to get 4-plus yards. 67% of the pass plays are getting 4-plus yards. Now, the Chiefs have got to win on first down more. And it would be nice to start in this game. If you look what the Chargers have done, they haven't scored a lot of points, but they already, I mean, they've got the league average for 10 play drives is 4, and they've got 10. Like, they're just hanging on to the ball, and that's what they'll try to do on Sunday. You got to get these dudes off the field, but the Chiefs have to win more on first down defensively in this game and almost treat first down like third down to the last play of the game. Every first down in this game on Sunday.
So runs of 4-plus, passes of 4-plus on first down, 60-plus percent of the time, they're getting 4 yards or more. That can't happen. Puts you in a bad spot defensively, takes you out of the third and long scenarios, mm-hmm. gets offenses in a groove. So as much as you lament the end portion of it, get some work done early. And put yourself in a much better position.
Josh, I think when we come in on Monday morning and really throughout the day on Sunday, the first down is going to be one of the biggest things we look at. And even as Mitch was saying that to us this morning, I was thinking in my head of watching these last couple of games going, man, they are getting blown up on first down. Like, they're not doing themselves as a defense any favors on first down. And sometimes when your defense is struggling, at least this is some of the times the way I look at a game, right? And it's like third and two. I'm like, just get the first down and let them hit the reset button. But with this team, they get the first down. It is second and four, brother. It is second and five. There is no second and eight. There is no second and nine. They're not making that play in the backfield. And when you can have success on first downs, it sets up your entire drive. And we spend so much time in this league and as fans focusing on what these teams do on third down. First down is the most important down of the drive, because if you can move the ball and get a chunk of yards on first down, Josh, you can do anything on second down. You can do anything on third down. It puts you in those second and third and manageable positions as opposed to being in second and long and third and long. And so, yeah, this defense, man, first play of the game, first play of the drive, they've got to go out there and they've got to knock the Chargers right in the mouth, get off the block and make a play and set them up for second and long. If you're not doing your job on first down, Got to be honest with you, man. It's a lot tougher for the crowd to do their job, too, because you're putting the team in a position to be successful on offense as opposed to putting them in a position to make it difficult for them to move the ball down the field.
60% of the time, it works every time.
That's right. That doesn't make sense.
That's about what it's been. That's about what it's been, though, for the Chiefs defense.
Right, right.
Mitch, and what the biggest issue's been with the defense?
It's all of the above. Like, there has been breakdown in scheme. But honestly, and this is going to sound like we did last year with the coach at Pooch's, there are times you have to just whip the dude in front of you. I talked to Spags about it yesterday. We're going to feature it on our pregame show. And Spags, you just, even if you have a double team, Jaron Reed has to start whipping the guy in front of him every snap.
Yep.
Same with Turk Wharton. I know that Nottie's been reduced by injury a bit. You've got to win battles. And if Chris is on the edge, it's not about hamburgers and sacks. It's about whipping the dude in front of you. Then it leads to the sacks. And I know that sounds coachy, but this team's got to get a defensive mentality of not only being sound in the scheme, but they've got to start winning those individual battles side to side and front to back.
Got coachy there.
Yeah,
that's fine.
He did get coachy there. There's that's no doubt fine. About it. Yeah. But what scares me, not scares, I'm scared of a lot of things that maybe bears. What said
about
there.
Spiders?
No, spiders don't scare. They're just a nuisance.
What about snakes? You had to get a bucket and a shovel for that one.
Yeah, my parents are in town this week. No snake in the basement this week. That was good.
I'm also scared of really smart kids. I think they can like collapse my brain just thinking about it.
Okay.
They can also move stuff with their minds.
They can. Where was I going with
and
this?
And zombies.
Oh, what concerns me, I guess, a little bit is when you asked me, like, Mitch, what's wrong with the defense? And he says, all of the above. Those are issues that you have to try to figure out a way to start solving one at a time. And still, to me, the biggest issue when he says all of the above, defensive line, do your job, man. Really, like, honestly, there's a lot of money. Cody talked about it. You got $200 million invested in two players. Go out there and earn that money, right? Jaron Reed, go out there and earn the accolades. Turk Wharton, man, all right, fine. You can do whatever you want. You're an undrafted guy from Missouri State Technical College or whatever it was. You can go out there and do your thing. Derek Nottie, going to need you to come to work. We're going to need Colin Saunders to play. We're going to need some of these guys on the interior of that defensive line to go out there and start dominating and playing and doing what we need them to do in order for this team to have success. I'm putting the onus this week, Josh, on the defensive line. If they don't do their job and they don't get the job done on the defensive line, it's going to be very difficult for Patrick Mahomes to outscore the Chargers again.
And then, for Justin Herbert, facing this defense, maybe you're licking your chops a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, get work done on first down. Get work done in the red zone. The Chargers have not been very good in the red zone.
Right.
And Herbert's the guy that's put up big numbers. They're not scoring any points.
No, they're not.
So there's some pressure on the Chargers to take something at this Chiefs
defense.
But
you have to wonder what gives, though, too, Josh. I mean, as bad as the Chargers are in the red zone offensively, the Chiefs are equally as bad defensively in that red zone. And something's going to give this
week. Well, I'd rather be on their side of this one myself.
Yeah.
Like, you feel like you're close. Offensively, you feel like you're close. Like, right. We're moving the ball. We're just close.
Right.
Defensively, you're like, man, do we have enough answers? Because I
don't know.
It's tough to see that. I would rather be on that side of that battle
mm-hmm.
than the Chiefs side of it in this instance. But Mitch tells us Justin Herbert, in his eyes, still needs to get over the hump.
Herbert's good. I think he's really good. And the biggest challenge he gives to any opponent is the same thing Patrick gives to any opponent. That is, if we had the NFL track meet this afternoon at Shawnee Mission North High School and the javelin was held, Mahomes and Herbert are going to be 1 and 2. Herbert has the ability. Talk about perfect scheme and whipping the guy in front of you. Herbert can do what Mahomes does, and that is just throw the ball right over the top of you, and all of that doesn't matter. Very few quarterbacks can do it. Herbert can. Mahomes does it in his sleep. All right. That being said, Herbert has lost 8 games by one possession or by one possession,
mm-hmm.
Okay? He's 7-10 as a starting quarterback. Mahomes has won in that same span 9 games by one possession. That's the best in the NFL. Herbert's 8 losses by one possession is the worst in the NFL. Now, him being 7-10, Herbert's got to get over the hump. And that means not throwing an end zone interception like he did against the Dallas Cowboys. That cost them the game. So Herbert, to this point, although very talented, has kind of been given the Philip Rivers Hall pass. Like, oh, it's somebody else's fault. It's been an injury, or it's not his fault. They got to get over that. If they're going to make the push that they need to move forward, then he's got to start pulling these games out of the fire. And instead, we know Mahomes has done it, does it over and over. Herbert has rarely done it. And so I know we're early in this story, but that's not a stat you hear a lot on NFL Network.
Let's not start now.
No, God, no.
Like Justin Herbert, yeah, for him, he probably needs to get over that hump. I'd just as soon he be Philip Rivers.
I'd be fine with Philip Rivers.
Where he puts up a bunch of yards, but, you know.
At the end of the day, you lose.
Charger got a charger, yeah. You know.
When it's all said and done.
When it's all said and done. At the end of the day.
At the end of the day.
When the sun sets.
Yes.
When numbers become letters.
When the wood is done being chopped. When the numbers become letters, he says.
Then I want Justin Herbert to be Philip Rivers. Don't be Justin Herbert. Be Philip Rivers, which was a guy you could always count on to make a mistake. I hope that. That would continue.
Our data is letters, not numbers. It's wins and losses.
It's true.
That's right. It's all true. About letters when it comes to wins and losses.
Man,
that's an all-timer.
That's a tough one to beat.
Yeah, that really is.
That's a tough quote to beat. Brendan Daly, Chiefs defensive line coach.
That is ultimate I'm a football coach quote right there.
Football's the greatest sport there ever was made.
It's true.
That's a good one, too. It's not as good as our data's based on letters, not numbers. It's wins and losses. Every time I look at the standings, coach, it's numbers.
There's no other treatment than just playing footballs.
Than playing footballs.
That one is not as good as this backwards hat defensive line coach with his mesh shorts and whistle screaming at people.
Because I like hearing one and go, what?
What? The hell did he just say?
God bless football.
They keep track of wins and losses with numbers.
Yes,
I'm
they do.
Pretty sure.
Last I checked, I look at the standings. Sure. It's got numbers all over it.
Football is our game. Our job is winning.
It is time to recap the week that was. What we learned with Billy Coons, brought to you
this
by
is football, man.
Jay's Southland Tow.
Hello, this is Billy Coons. This is what we learned on Fest. Good morning for this week on Monday. Bob and Josh recap the Kansas City Chiefs' stunning loss to the Baltimore Ravens, 36-35, in which the defense struggled all night to stop the Ravens, but the two turnovers hurt the Chiefs' offense also. And Bob and Josh say the Chiefs need to respond next Sunday playing home against the L.A. Chargers. And Royals insider Josh Fournier joined the show to discuss the last 2 weeks for the baseball team and who will be in the starting rotation in the 2022 season. And will Salvador Perez break the home run record for the Royals? And the guys discussed that beating the Kansas City Chiefs is what everybody wants. It's like beating the Kansas basketball or the New York Yankees. That's how good the Chiefs have been the last 3 years. On Tuesday, we learned Salvador Perez hit his 46th home run and passed Johnny Bench for the most home runs by a catcher in a year. And the guys discussed the Baltimore Ravens thinking they've won their Super Bowl by beating the Kansas City Chiefs and enjoying the really good win. And Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride joined the show to talk about Sunday's football game loss and the defensive line didn't show up to play. And legend Bob and brother Ryan discussed the town of Reno, Nevada, and what kind of events and what good things to visit and the restaurants in town.
It's true, yeah, it's true.
And Kansas City Royals pitcher Brad Keller joined the show to discuss being an SEC guy and listen to jokes from Alabama head football coach Nick Saban. On Wednesday, Bob and Josh spoke on the Kansas City Chiefs defensive line that didn't show up, and legend Bob was very upset with Chris Jones and Frank Clark. And legend Bob, he's an expert on how to make mashed potatoes to cook and eat.
What?
And also, Bob and Josh say the Kansas City Chiefs are in last in defense in every NFL category, and legend Bob was very upset about it. And the guys discussed which is better, regular Pepto or generic Pepto. On Thursday, Bob and Josh spoke to L.A. Chargers reporter Shannon Ferris to discuss the Chargers' struggle in the red zone and preview the Chargers and Chiefs game on Sunday. And former L.A. Chargers linebacker Sean Merriman joined the show to talk about his days against the Chiefs, how they are physical against the run, how Justin Herbert's been a star quarterback for the L.A. Chargers, great week to listen to Legend Bob, Brother Ryan, and I with Josh. Talk to you later.
Would you like to comment on D's nuts?
He pulled it together at the end. I thought he was very distracted at the beginning of today's report.
He did seem.
But then he dialed it back in.
I thought we were going to get him to say D's nuts.
Yes, I did too. I really thought.
D's nuts. Got him.
I really thought we'd get Billy to say it.
I do like this from the text line from the 573.
Gerard McKinnis.
How is Herbert 7-10 but has 8 losses by 1 possession? That's, well, 8 of his 10 losses came by.
Justin asked the same thing.
1 possession. What?
Said I'm sure he's asking the same thing.
Who?
Well, he deals, Justin Herbert. How is that possible?
Well, he deals in letters.
Yeah, that is true, yeah.
In letters, he's only got, like, been a B.
Our data is letters, not numbers. It's wins and losses.
That's right.
Take that for data.
I love it.
You know, we're working, too.
Unbelievable. That gets up there on the Mount Rushmore of sports quotes. When does that guy talk again? couple weeks.
Who was that? Brendan Daly? Yeah. Is that who that was?
Yeah. Probably a couple weeks. We'll find out what they're...
He may
like
not.
It's the first time I've heard from him since coordinator day at training camp.
What their letter record is in a few weeks.
Yep. Big day.
Hey,
35-0 Chiefs.
All right, I figured that was the case.
2 losses in a row. See you guys on Monday.
You're picking Chargers?
That's right.
Oh, wow.
Boy. You suck.
Wow.
What, do you expect me to pick them to go 17-0 this year? Oh, yeah. Wait a minute.
I think they bounce back, but it's going to be close. It's going to be a good game. Good game.
So we all agree, except for Bob. Me and Clay both agree they're going to take some losses along the way.
Yes, yes.
But when I pick them to take a loss, I suck.
That's right.
I didn't say suck.
I thought you'd pick the bounce back.
You're going to catch a fade right here.
Hope your tomatoes are good, man. They're better than your predictions.
You got some beefsteaks.
I'll join Mitch and Dana on the broadcast Sunday, noon on 106.5 The Wolf. And we'll be back on Monday morning at 6. Coming up on Cody and Gold, Pete Sweeney, Arrowhead Pride will join them at 11. And then hear from Andy Reid around 1 today, live here on 610 Sports Radio. Cody and Gold are next.
We're done.
Yeah.
I gotta go. Bye.
You guys take care.
Have a great day, Bobby. Thank you. Go Royals.
Hey, thanks, gents.
Oh, man, I gotta go.
I'm out.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Talk to you later.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.